The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belden.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. We are here at Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation, live and direct from the USA Cannabis Cafe, world famous Oregon Normal Cannabis Cafe, coming to you live. Sorry we missed you these past 5 days, but, you know, sometimes stuff happens and we got to put stuff back together, and that's what we've done. We're here. We're going to come to you here from the Cannabis Cafe with all sorts of news, talk, interviews, music, comedy, information, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining me to my left, the maestro, Doug Benson's best friend, Ganja John.
Yeah, I am Doug Benson's best friend. Hey, everybody. And I want everyone to know the technical difficulties were my fault. I spilled the bong water on the router. I'm really sorry, Russ. I'm really sorry, listeners. But we'll make up for it today.
Okay. And also joining us in from our virtual studio in Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, you guys, I missed you. How's it going?
Carrie, we missed you too. We're doing just fine down here in the cafe. People are starting to come in here. We got a few folks. Rafael Martinez is sitting by here. Madeline's going to be on the show later. Anna Diaz, one of the founders of Oregon Normal, also here. We're probably going to go long today just because I feel so guilty for dropping the show for the past 3 days. People were jonesing out there, Carrie.
Yeah, I know I was. Thank goodness you streamed that meeting on Saturday.
Oh, we had a great meeting on Saturday, the Oregon Normal Cardholders meeting. And unfortunately, while I was upstairs filming the cardholders meeting, Doug Benson was downstairs hanging out with everybody.
Yeah, and I wasn't here because I thought it would be a good idea to maybe skip dialysis Friday night and go with Russ to see Doug. We got to meet Doug, which was great.
Yeah.
But I decided, I'll do dialysis during the cardholders meeting. And I'm a dumbass.
And you missed it.
But yeah, we both missed it.
We get the shot in here of John. You can see John's got the hat here, the official Doug Benson signature hat. Let's get this other cam going. There we go. Cannabis Cafe, world-famous Cannabis Cafe, signed by Doug Benson. He was here. We got some pictures we'll show a little bit later of him in the cafe and up on stage where he actually wore the Cannabis Cafe hoodie on stage for his entire set. It was wonderful.
It was amazing. And, you know, I got to tell you all to go. You know, he's going to be in L.A., I believe, tomorrow at Largo doing the Benson interruption. If you're from there, go see him. He's a great guy. I absolutely loved it. Russ and I think Russ had a good time.
Oh, I had a fantastic time, you know. And what was really cool about it is he hung out afterwards, signed autographs for free, let people take pictures. It was a really good time. Now, Carrie brings us our news right after our first break. What are we looking forward to in the headlines today?
Well, we're going to talk about some struggles that Canada is having with their medical cannabis laws right now. We're also going to look at a state that passed medical marijuana back in 1978. They're going to make another go of it. And I'm really excited about this one. Someone asked our drug czar, Gail Polakowski, what the feds were going to do if cannabis legalized, and we're going to find out what he said.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. We'll come right back to you after this break. I want to remind everyone to visit our sponsors. Without them, we can't bring this show to you. And by the way, the router did make it today. The minute I got everything packed up and ready to go to the Cannabis Cafe, I'm getting into my Jeep. up pulls the UPS guy with the router. So whatever, we're here and we're live. We're glad to be here. Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. Today coming up, we've got the Daily Toker Tune at 20 after the hour, Roots Monday music from the Manish Boys. 30 after the hour, we're going to speak with Madeline Martinez and talk about OCTA, the campaign to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon. And then at 45 after, I'm going to give you some helpful tips on debating prohibitionists as we talk about legalization on the West Coast. This is Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I was just about to say that. We'll be right back in a minute.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and THCF has clinics in 10 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, and Rhode Island. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or call 1-800-723-0188.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Our northern neighbor, Canada, is struggling with medical marijuana in much the same way that the U.S. is. Canada, which has long been seen as soft on cannabis crime, is the stage of a dispensary drama worthy of Southern California. The Cannabis as Living Medicine Compassion Club was raided on March 31st by plainclothes police officers. They seized 16,000 grams of cannabis, almost 2,000 grams of hash, and about 200 grams of hash oil. The club sold medical marijuana to clients with legal permission to use it through Health Canada or to those that had a referral note from their physicians. The owner, Neve Taparillo, said that he has applied several times to Health Canada for a license to sell medical cannabis, but since a license for dispensing marijuana doesn't exist, he never received one. The club has been operating since 1996 without any police interaction. In the end, the owner and eight volunteers were arrested for illegally selling marijuana and a variety of drug-related offenses, including trafficking. The club opened up back last week, but is no longer selling marijuana. Now the club is selling politics. Club members and community supporters organized a protest that was held on Sunday in front of police headquarters. Over 300 people demanded that Health Canada make it easier for those with medical needs to have access to cannabis. Police officers lined both sides of the building behind a security fence, and they also shut down part of the street in front of the station, but no problems or further arrests were reported. Recent statements by Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper imply that some government officials are ready to crack down on cannabis in Canada. In a YouTube interview, Prime Minister Harper said, quote, "I understand that people defend the use of drugs, but that said, I think I've been very fortunate to live a drug-free life, and I don't meet many people who lead a drug-free life who regret it. So obviously this is something we want to encourage for our children and for everybody's children." Ron Marzell, the raided club's lawyer, will file a motion this week asking the police to return some of the marijuana to members of the club who are suffering as a result of the raid. For now, the club will remain cannabis-free but remain open as a place for clients to coordinate the court battle and organize a larger protest to put pressure on Health Canada. Activists and supporters of the 3,000-member club are planning a protest on May 1st at Queen's Park that they hope will be attended by thousands. Officers are reporting that the initial raid was prompted by community complaints.
Ah, yes, the community complaint. You know, this just further illustrates why I keep talking about the need for legalization of cannabis for all people, even the healthy ones. Because here we've got a country, an entire country, that has medical marijuana. Canada, the entire country has medical marijuana, and they've got single-payer health care. They got universal health care, and still, patients are having to face these difficulties trying to get a hold of their medicine. First of all, Health Canada grows all of their medical cannabis in an abandoned zinc and copper copper mine in Flin Flon, Manitoba. Great place to get your weed, right? Abandoned zinc and copper mine. Can't be any environmental problems there. And so now they've got these dispensaries trying to get decent medicine to the people, and they're getting nothing but hassle from the Canadian government. As long as we have this division between the so-called medical marijuana users and the so-called criminals, instead of just letting us all have the human right to use plants that come out of the ground any way we see fit as adults, so long as we don't hurt anyone else, these problems will continue. And I did want to make a comment on this, this one comment by the person, I forget the name that Carrie brought up, but he said, we need to lead a drug-free life. Right? We need to have set the example of a drug-free life. Ha! Have you turned on the television lately? Have you ever watched commercials on our television? I was watching the NBC Nightly News the other day with Brian Williams, and there was this big story, and this is kind of interesting. The people in the chat room are bringing this up, too, about the pollen count, right? About how bad the allergies are this year, right? So this big NBC Nightly News story, Brian Williams, pollen counts are through the roof, allergies are crazy this year, everybody's suffering from allergies. 2.5 minutes of network time building up the scare of how bad the allergy season is. Guess what the very next commercial was? Ask your doctor about prescription Omneris, the allergy fighting relief, the new allergy pill. So, excuse me if I don't believe drug-free life. We can't move an inch in the society without being exposed to drugs in every corner. Well, I think that's all I have to say about that. Go on, Carrie.
It seems almost certain that the United States will add at least one and maybe even a few more states that allow for medical marijuana this year. In the race to be the 15th state to recognize cannabis as a treatment for some qualifying patients, Illinois is a serious contender. Representative Lou Lang is sponsoring medical marijuana legislation for his state and feels that he has enough support in the Illinois State House to pass the measure, but he is waiting for the perfect time to assure he has enough votes. Lang told one Chicago paper last week that many members of the House will vote for the measure, but they will only do it once. He said that more than 90 of the 118 members of the House of Representatives that he has polled have told him they support the bill, but that may or may not parlay into actual votes. Nearly 40 of the representatives who support the bill in private say they fear political fallout for voting for a medical marijuana measure. Lang must get the bill passed in the House before a new General Assembly is sworn in next January, or he will have to start from scratch with the new medical marijuana legislation. The bill just barely squeaked by the Senate over a year ago by a 30-28 vote. Now, interestingly, Illinois has already passed a medical marijuana law over 30 years ago in 1978 called the Cannabis Control Act. It required the Department of Human Services and the Illinois State Police to enact new policies on marijuana before it could be legally distributed. But neither agency has made any move to do so. The new bill before the House would allow someone with a debilitating medical condition and their caregiver to have up to 6 plants. The Illinois Department of Public Health would determine procedural specifics, and the law would expire 3 years after taking effect, unless renewed by the legislature. Lang is counting on professionals like Illinois public health advocate Dr. Quentin Young to win over those on the fence. Young says marijuana could serve as a replacement, in some cases, for Vicodin and Oxycontin, drugs that are addictive and can be lethal. Young points out that marijuana is neither addictive or lethal, saying, quote, "The medical profession has no controversy on this to speak of." Representative Lang is working behind the scenes trying to make sure that he does have enough votes for passage before he calls for a divisive vote to allow the passage of this bill in Illinois.
Well, there's a lot of states right now that are looking at medical marijuana. I mean, Alabama's legislature's even looking at medical marijuana laws right now. Tennessee's looking at it. New York and Pennsylvania. We're getting the problem in the East, though. New York and Pennsylvania both looking at laws that do not allow home grows. And then in the states that allow for initiatives where the citizens can actually come up with it and write the law and put it on the ballot and vote on it, we've got that going on in Florida, South Dakota, and Arizona, all trying to get initiatives passed for medical marijuana. Again, the Arizona initiative's the controversial one that doesn't allow home grow if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary. But nevertheless, there's all these medical marijuana actions that are going on right now. If you'd like a complete list of all of the states and everything that's happening, check out the Normal Stash blog at stash.normal.org. I've created a new medical marijuana map. You can just go in the search engine and type in medical marijuana map, and it's the entire United States with all the medical states, the decrim states, the hemp states, the states that are trying to get medical marijuana, where there are per se DUID zero tolerance laws, where it's basically illegal to drive if you're a medical marijuana patient, all of that and more, including the 26 states where you can have a citizen initiative, places like Texas and places like Oklahoma and Idaho, where you can actually use citizens' initiatives. Check it out at the Stash blog. Now, let me get back to this Illinois thing, because I wanted to remark on this political fallout thing, talking about the Illinois legislators afraid to stand up for medical marijuana because of the political fallout. And Profus here in our chat room even brings up, why are they afraid of the political fallout when it's going with the will of the people? I mean, we look at the polls and we find 70 to 80% support for medical marijuana. You thought the people ran this country. You thought this was a democracy. Oh, I get it. No, see, the political fallout they're worried about is the prison guard unions, the cops, the law enforcement, all of these very, very powerful unions and very, very powerful political donors that won't donate to them anymore if they vote for medical marijuana, if they go with the will of 4 out of 5 people. That's what they're talking about, political fallout. Not the loss of votes, the loss of money. Those big contributors from Big Pharma who have 2.3 lobbyists for every representative and senator in the United States Congress. That's what they're talking about when we talk about political fallout.
And as groups on both sides of the effort to legalize cannabis for all Californians over the age of 21 prepare statements and launch websites, the nation's top drug enforcement official, drug czar Gil Kerlikowske, seems to be taking a wait-and-see approach. In an interview for ABC's webcast Top Line, a daily political show, Kerlikowske was asked the question about how the federal government would react to California legalizing marijuana. He said that the Controlled Substances Act is the one that's enforced by the federal government, and marijuana is a violation of that act. But since it hasn't passed right now, it would be improper to speculate on what the role of the federal government would be if it did. He says that the federal government does and will continue to enforce the Controlled Substances Act. When pressed for more insight on the issue and asked if he could envision the situation to be resolved by the courts, he answered, "You can envision a lot of things." He remained coy about legalizing marijuana, but Kerlikowske, he did say that President Obama would be releasing a new national drug control strategy in the next few weeks, and that that would shed some light on where the Office on National Drug Control Policy would be focusing their efforts. You know that we will be all over that document as soon as it's released, Russ.
Oh, we can't comment because we don't want to speculate on a hypothetical, you know, could be, maybe, perhaps. Why not? Is that kind of the way we want our government working, is to just react? You know, I know that they don't like the idea of California, Oregon, and Washington re-legalizing cannabis this coming election, but it's definitely something that's a possibility and something they should really come to a contingency plan on. Something that I learned that was very interesting from Paul Stanford this weekend at the Oregon Normal Cardholders meeting, which we streamed live, is talking about that Controlled Substances Act that Gil Kerlikowske brings up. According to the Controlled Substances Act, states, not the federal government, have the superseding authority when it comes to the regulation of drugs. This is one of the few places where federal law does not trump state law. State law trumps federal law. So if a state decides that it wants to move cannabis into the realm of being a regulated and taxed and legal substance, then they're going to go right ahead and do so. And besides, you know, what can Gil really envision when California decides to re-legalize? What are they going to do? Send in the federal troops? I mean, California is an awful big state. What is it, the 6th largest economy on the planet? I don't really think they want to mess around with California. And then the other thing I hear is these people saying, oh, well, there's so many businesses in California that have federal contracts, they won't be able to have a drug-free workplace. Well, guess what? The Drug-Free Workplace Act just says that you need to have a policy for a drug-free workplace. It doesn't say what drugs you have to ban. It doesn't say how you have to test for that. So that's another red herring they're throwing at you here. That will not affect these companies at all. And in this time right now, we're having so much problem with unemployment and economic hardship in this country. Do you really think the federal government wants to get involved with California and have a big battle in the courts with their attorney general and lose all that money and goodwill from California? I don't think that's a very good idea, Gil. So that's some things you should be envisioning when California decides to re-legalize. And this is something that the founding fathers had in mind when they formed this republic, is that the states would be the laboratories of democracy, that a state or two or three could come up with some novel new approach on how to regulate things, and it wouldn't have to go nationwide. They could try it out in a few states, see how it works, and if it works well, other states could take it up. Why not get back to the idea of our constitutional republic, the idea that these founding fathers, these brilliant men came up with, that we should be able to experiment and local rule is best. Yeah, thank you. All right, that time tells me that it is time for us to take a break. We've got to, puff it up here at the Cannabis Cafe. It's 4:20 on the East Coast, 1:20 here. We'll be right back.
Yeah. It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a goof.
All right, folks, want to remind you. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by PlanetFantastic.com and Bella Blue Tie-Dye Fashions. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, we're back and still dealing with some live gremlins here at the Cannabis Cafe, making sure that all the patrons here can hear the show. And joining us back from Astoria, Oregon, Cannabis Carrie is here with our Roots Monday tune. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. I love Roots Monday.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to... Do you want me to just get into it and let you know what we're playing today?
Well, we're live and we're just kind of hoking around here. I did want to say that I just love this tune that you got coming up here.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, Russ, I think you probably know more about the history of this tune. Didn't you cover this in one of your rock and roll bands back in the day?
Way back at the Champagne and Reefer, exactly. And used to, you know, Rolling Stones made that famous from covering, but it's old Muddy Waters tune. Yeah, but this is another group here that I really, really love. Tell us what you've got on them.
Well, this is from the Manish Boys, and I really love them, too. They're back with a new album. They deliver all of the Delta blues with precision and soul only well-seasoned musicians could pull off. The group is really an ever-evolving unit of world-class musicians. Founding member Randy Chortoff's vision was to bring musical greats in the genre who have their own history of blues music and perform lesser-known gems from the blues vault, all while drawing attention to the music from decades past, creating a new generation of blues lovers, and hopefully producing some royalty revenue for the estates of their blues forefathers. The result has been a 5-year-long project so far, and some of these recordings will stand among the legends that they are honoring. This is from their new album that was just released last month. It's called Shake For Me, and it has all kinds of really cool old music that sounds so familiar, yet it sort of is strange because the production values are so much higher today, of course. Today's tune is a blues standard that was a hit for Muddy Waters. He put it out in a 1981 album called King Bee, and it was recorded when Muddy Waters was 65 years old. And coincidentally, I wanted to say that the Manish Boys, that band name, comes from the title of a standard blues song that was first recorded by Muddy Waters back in 1955.
That's right, Muddy Waters, M-A-N, Manish Boy, Manly Man. Oh, yeah. This is Champagne and Reaver from the Manish Boys. Thanks, Cannabis Carrie, for bringing us the tune. We're going to get that played right now.
No, we're not.
Oh, we're having some problems with the live feed here. Ganja John's going to get that fixed. Meanwhile, let's talk a little bit here with Carrie, since we got you here. So this weekend, I want to let some people know about the show schedule, because it's getting a little hectic over the next few weeks with the spring season coming up. I'm touring with John Trudell and Bad Dog. They're touring all over Oregon here to get the Okta, fundraising for the Okta. I'll be playing with them on April 16th and 17th. Friday, April 16th is at the Rogue Theater in Grants Pass, Oregon. Saturday, April 17th is at the Ashland Armory in Ashland, Oregon. And then Sunday, April 18th, I'll be in San Francisco at the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo. So Friday, we will not have a live show. We'll try and put a best of show up for you, because Friday, I'll be driving to Southern Oregon. Are we ready for that tune, John? Is it going to go?
I think we might be ready.
All right, let's give it another try. The Manish Boys with Champagne and Reefer.
Bring me champagne when I'm thirsty. Give me a reefer when I want to get high. Give me champagne when I'm thirsty. Give me a reefer when I want to get high. Bring my woman and settle right down here by my side. Well, it shouldn't be no law if people, they want to smoke a little dough. Well, shouldn't be no law if people, they want to smoke a little dough. Well, it's good for the head. Relax their body, don't you know? Yeah!
run. Well, you know, she just hugged and she kissed me. Said, Johnny, you one man that I love best. Well, you know, I'm gonna get real high this morning. I'm gonna get high, that isn't sure is my name. Well, you know, I'm gonna get so high this morning. Ooh, beyond a fine chain. With my reefer, ain't gonna be messing around with no cocaine.
You betcha, the mannish boy, champagne and reefer. Give me champagne when I'm thirsty, give me reefer when I wanna get high.
Only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time for our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. This week, the Bay, Grand, Southwest, and University regions of Michigan are having their Adopt-a-Highway pickup. Check out minormal.com/chapters for more information. The Southwest Michigan Compassion Club tonight is having their meeting at the American Legion Hall in Buchanan, Michigan. Again, minormal.org for more information. And in Wisconsin, Madison Normal is having their meeting. They always meet on the second and fourth Mondays of each month at the Wilmar Center in Madison, Wisconsin. Please check out madisonnormal.org for more details. On Tuesday, April 13th, a weekly medicating event taking place at the Phoenix Cafe in Hazel Park, Michigan. More information on the calendar. Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club is meeting in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Check them out at kalamazooareacompassionclub.org, the world's longest website address. Then Hemp TV from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call 505-880-0666 for tickets to the show. You can check them out on Community Cable Channel 27 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. There is a link as well on our calendar at normal.org/calendar. There is a women's council taking place on Tuesday, April 13th at the Oregon Normal World Famous Cannabis Cafe and the Village Ballroom upstairs. This is dedicated to all who identify themselves as women. To nourish the spiritual lives for members of the cannabis community. For more information, email villagecouncil700@gmail.com. Wednesday, April 14th, 95.1 WIIL marijuana broadcast and call-in with Justin Kemp will be going on to promote the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act in Wisconsin. And also on Wednesday, Cal State University Fresno Normal is having their meeting at the Family Food and Science Building, Room 216A, at the CSU Fresno campus in Fresno, California. Thursday, April 15th is tax day. Make sure you get your taxes in. We can't say that we're law-abiding tax-paying consumers unless you pay your taxes. But there is also a Tennessee Normal Tax Day protest taking place in Nashville, Tennessee. Check out tnnormal.org for details. Philly Normal's having their open meeting. They always meet on the first and third Thursdays. Check out phillynormal.org for their information. And on Friday, April 16th, that weekend begins the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo in San Francisco, California, at the Cal Palace. I will be appearing there on Sunday. Tennessee Normal's also having their April public meeting. For more information on all of these events with links, email addresses, phone numbers, and more, check out the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.normal.org or call toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, party politics, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
All right. For our Normal Newsmakers today, we are joined by Madeline Martinez, the founder of the Cannabis Cafe, from which we are doing our show today. Welcome back, Madeline.
Thanks, Russ. Thank you so much for having us here.
I'm working to get you on camera here because we got live stuff going on here, and it's so let me adjust so people can see you, and you can wave and say hi.
Hi.
Okay, we got you, and a little bit of the, I think it's going to fall down. Let's try this one more time, just like that. We're live, folks. We are live. All right, so I wanted to talk to you today because this weekend we had an amazing weekend that went on Saturday. I mean, you were just running all over the place between Doug Benson, Okta, the meeting. Give folks an idea of what it's like to be the hardest working activist on the West Coast.
Well, it's exhausting, to say the least, yeah. But I'll tell you what, it's very inspirational. Every day when I see the look on people's faces to know that you can actually smell freedom in the air everywhere you go in Portland.
That does smell a little like freedom in here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really, really does. And I'm really excited to be part of it. And the cafe has just been so eye-opening to so many people. The madness that I think a lot of people expected has never happened. It has never materialized. The neighborhood has really opened up their hearts to us, and many of our patrons are our neighbors, so it's worked out really rather well.
Yeah, everybody's like family here. When people show up, it's like welcome home.
Yes,
everybody just loves
home.
It. Let's talk about OCTA, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, because everybody these days is talking about California's Tax Cannabis 2010, which has made the ballot. OCTA's just beginning the signature phase, am I correct?
You are correct. You are correct. We ran up against a roadblock when someone filed a frivolous challenge to it, but that's since been dismissed with, out merit.
What was their challenge? Do you remember? Or?
Well, their challenge was that they wanted everyone to know that the Attorney General would be mandated to defend our law should the feds decide to come in and enjoin it or anything else.
Isn't that his job?
That is his job. And so that's why I believe it was deemed frivolous. And so we've overcome that, and now we're on our way to gathering all the signatures. Our Democracy Resources campaign committee that we're working with, or the company, has assured us that they'd be able to gather all the signatures we need. Over 83,000, but we're actually going to go for 125,000 to make sure that we've got enough of a buffer.
You have a particular deadline where you have to get these 125?
Oh, yeah. We have to have them in by July the 2nd, 2010, and so we are running as fast as we can. So I cannot encourage people enough to get out there and gather signatures. You can contact our campaign at octa2010.org and come on in and figure out how we can get the petitions to you or how you can get to the petitions. We're going to be all over the state. We're just kicking off a John Trudell tour.
That's right?
Yeah, and it's really exciting. We're getting John Trudell is going to be touring It's going to be a six-week tour, so he's got six concerts planned across the state. They're opening up in Grants Pass. What's the date on there? I'm not looking
April 16th through the 24th is the tour.
And yeah. I just wanted to mention to Portland area folks, I was up at the Okta office this Saturday, and they are hiring people for petitioners and taking volunteers, and that's at 5220 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Anybody who can volunteer, please do it.
Please, if you can, you know, many people have asked me, oh, Madeline, how much will I get paid? And I look at them kind of, you know, puzzled, and I say, why, your freedom will be your pay, won't it? I mean, isn't that enough for all of us to not have to look over our shoulder or worry that our homes will be taken away from us through forfeiture laws? And, you know, it's really frightening when people don't realize that it's going to take all of us to do this. And some people will get paid to do it because they collect so many signatures in one day, and they're professionals. And so I would say if you're a consumer and if you believe in personal privacy and freedom, get out there. That's your pay.
Yeah, exactly. We got to fight for our freedom. It's not never given. I forget the exact quote, but the freedom is never given willingly by the oppressor. It must be sought by the oppressed or fought
exactly.
for by the oppressed.
Exactly. You know, one of the models that I live by is to stand in the face of injustice and be silent, is to be a co-conspirator. And I will not be silent. And that's why we have the Cannabis Cafe, because people, you know, were forced to be isolated in their homes. But I didn't like that idea because so many people needed to have a social outlet.
Yeah.
And so we did this in spite of people who said, ooh, you're taking a big risk. Life's a big risk.
Exactly.
Getting up every morning is a big risk. And if you don't fight for what you believe in, then really, if not you, who?
Yeah. And you know, the whole West Coast here, is, we mentioned it before, looking at different ways of regulating the cannabis market that already exists. California's got the Tax Cannabis 2010. And what's interesting about that, it's all a local control situation. Possession is legal. Small-scale cultivation is legal. Giving it to your friends is legal. But if you want to sell it, that's up to like the local county or the local city, whether or not they want to make regulations for that. Okta is a completely different animal in that it's statewide, and it's more like the international convention as far as selling to the state. Give people some ideas what re-legalization looks like under Okta.
Under Okta, we set up the Oregon Cannabis Control Commission, and people will have to get licenses from the commission to pay for a license. There will be fees, of course. And we set up this whole commission that will have oversight. And once someone gets obtains a license, they can then grow and turn in their harvest within 90 days of their harvest. And it will go it'll be tested, of course, prior to that. Mm-hmm. It'll be tested for quality, and we want to make sure those fees are kept low, affordable for people. You know, we hear these horrible things about fees and how much it costs, and we want to make sure that we have really, really thoughtful fees where people can affordable fees.
Sure.
And so that's what Okta will look like. We'll have stores, cannabis stores, where you would go with your ID if you look young, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be asked for my ID. I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately.
But well, however you want to take it.
But yeah, 21 years of age, and you will have to show that. And one of the things that I always say is, you know, drug dealers don't ask for ID, and they don't just sell marijuana. So we'll make our youth safer. Mm-hmm. I feel right now you can purchase it at any store. I mean, at any store, at any high school, virtually a cannabis store at the high school. And it's really, you know, it's really tragic. So this money will then go, the money that we gain through this revenue will go directly to the state funds so that it can fund health services, you know, plug the holes in our budget. It's terrible. The Oregon Health Plan now is involved in a lottery to draw names to see who qualifies. What kind of way is that to run a healthcare system?
Yeah, not a very good one. So under Okta then, someone who's just a cannabis consumer, just a toker, could grow their own. And they, no taxes, no fees, no regulations, no nothing.
They could grow their own in their backyard as long as they don't sell it. They can give it away. They can smoke it as long as they're out of public view. That's one thing that we really want to make sure people are respectful. You shouldn't drink in public, you know. And so why would you smoke in public? And yes, and they would be allowed. Everyone will be free as long as they don't enter the black market.
When you talk about not smoking in public, not drinking in public, but we do have outdoor venues where, like the Brewfest that happens down on the river, where people are drinking in a marked off area, but it's public. Would OCTA allow for anything like that?
Yes, it will. It says that there is no public consumption unless there's a notice that says you can consume cannabis, and that's what we're looking forward to, more cafes and more areas that are cannabis friendly.
What's a possession limit under OCTA for someone who's just, you know, a consumer, not growing, not licensed?
Well, you know, we haven't gotten to that stage. Once we pass the initiative, then we'll sit down and we'll work out the administrative rules, because that's just generally how initiatives work. Once you get it passed, then you sit down and you write out and you specify what exactly the amounts would be. Now, my thought is, because we already have a state law that's worked for 10 years and we have 6 plants and 24 ounces, I'm pretty sure that that's already the standard where we start.
Yeah.
And so 24 ounces, although people think it's an enormous amount, it really isn't when you only have one season a year that you can grow outside in Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like California where you can go all year long. And most people want to avoid those really high energy bills that, you know, that go with cultivating indoors.
You know, I think that makes sense. And we're speaking again with Madeline Martinez, who's the co-chief petitioner of the OCTA campaign, the executive director of Oregon Normal, a member of the Normal Board of Directors, the founder of the Cannabis Cafe, a grandma, and a Pomeranian owner. So you're busy.
I'm just a normal mom blazing the Oregon Trail.
You know, you mentioned that limits of the OMA, the Medical Marijuana Act, that allow for 6 mature plants, 18 immature, and 24 ounces of possession. And it would make sense for OCTA, for personal possession, to have those same limits. It'd be a lot easier for law enforcement to not have to have 2 different standards.
Exactly.
To have to be able to, let's see, are you sick enough to have 6 plants? I don't know.
So yeah, right.
That'll be nice. Let's talk about the commercial aspect of this, because this is a kind of a revolutionary thing in that most of the times people think of the regulation and taxation of cannabis, they think of stores and dispensaries and private enterprise. This one sets up growers to be licensed by the state to sell only to the state. And then the state then distributes it through the stores, almost like liquor stores in a sense, where it's a state-run enterprise. Do you get any blowback from that from people? Are there people that are, you know, concerned about that? And are you concerned about maybe the federal government getting involved? You know, here's Oregon becoming a drug buyer, what they would call a drug buyer and a drug pusher.
Well, you know, actually, we made history in 2007 when Oregon was the first state that I've ever heard of, and I've asked quite a few people, you know, notably Alan St. Pierre and Keith Strop, who I think know most, they have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in marijuana reform. And in 2007, the state of Oregon actually took money from the marijuana program. So they're already partners
right.
in marijuana as revenue, marijuana money as revenue. And so I think that going the step further makes more sense. But yeah, you know, we always said when the OMA, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, was going through on the ballot and getting ready to be voted upon, even when we were collecting signatures, we had grave concerns that the feds would come in and join our law once it did pass. Well, the same things are being said now about the OCTA, and they've never come in and joined anything.
Right.
And so I think, given the way our Bill of Rights is written and all that you just spoke about, is that the states should make those determinations. And as long as it's interstate and not, what is it?
Intrastate.
Yeah. I always get those two mixed up. But intrastate and not interstate, I think we're well within our rights.
Yeah, and this also, you know, Paul Stanford explained how this is tied in with the Single Convention Treaty of 1961, which determined that that entities, you know, nations is the way it was kind of written for, have to abide by a system where there's a designation of where the grows will be and one purchaser that will buy it. And it's all been drafted along with that treaty, and it's built to kind of stand up in federal court. That's the idea behind this. Let me get to our chat room, because chat room folks here are, you know, asking a whole bunch of questions, and I think they're a little confused about the grow limits and Okta. We were talking about the grow limits that the current Medical Marijuana Act has, the 6 plants, 18 immature, 24 ounces, but you were telling us there is no limit set up yet with Okta.
There is not. There is not. The reason I was using the medical marijuana program limits for growing was because I think it's a good starting point.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, naturally, if you are going to be a licensed grower and you have a large plot of land, one would expect that their grow would not be limited to 6 plants, but rather larger. Some people say, you know, an acre of marijuana growing per grower. I think that sounds like a nice number to start with. You know, fair. We were thinking about growing years ago, 2007, Senate Bill 767, we introduced by Senator Morissette at the legislature, allowed for an acre to be grown. Yeah. And I thought that was a great, you know, a nice amount to start with.
Oh, we love it. It's the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. Check it out at octa2010.org, OCTA2010.org, or cannabistaxact.org. It's also available there. Madeline Martinez is the founder of this cannabis cafe and bringing freedom to Oregon, one legislator, one law, one initiative at a time. Thanks again for joining us. And if people want to get more information about the cafe or talk to you,
yeah, they can reach me at executdirector@ornorml.org. And they can also find out about Okta at the Normal.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Oregon Normal website.
Of the Marijuana Nation.
It's at ornorml.org. Thanks a lot, Madeline. We'll be right back after this.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
The Emerald Sun will rise on St. Paddy's Day, March 17, 2010. Emerald Sun is opening up our design studio at 9423 North Division in Spokane. We're at the Y. Visit us at www.emerald-sun.com for details on our specialty threads and designs with the cannabis culture in mind.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Welcome back, everyone. 52 after the hour, and we're probably going to make this a long show because, you know, we were off for so long, I've got so many things to say. And what I want to bring up today is what we were talking about earlier, and that is the West Coast legalizing cannabis, or I should say, re-legalizing cannabis. Oregon, Washington, and California could all possibly be voting this November on various measures to tax and control and regulate the cannabis market that exists today. And you know the prohibitionists are going to go crazy over this. Their jobs are at stake. Their livelihoods are at stake here. They're going to throw everything they can at you to try to make it stick and try to make you think that re-legalization of cannabis is a bad idea. So what I'm bringing to you now are a dozen sound bites that you're going to hear from the prohibitionists over the next, 6-7 months, and then the sound bites and science that you can use to defeat them. The first section here is something I like to call smokers and drinkers and tokers, oh my.
We have enough problems with alcohol and tobacco. Why would we want to add another dangerous substance to that list?
Okay, you're going to hear that a lot. They're going to say, you know, alcohol and tobacco are dangerous. Why would we want another drug? Your answer? 2.3 million adult Californians are using cannabis now. We're not asking to add anything. We're demanding regulations on what exists now. Right now, we are spending $15.5 billion on the drug war. We've arrested 11.5 million cannabis users from the time President Clinton told us he didn't inhale to the time President Obama said he inhaled frequently. That's the point. And yet, 22.5 million American adults still will use cannabis this year. Marijuana is already a part of our culture. The only question now is whether it should be regulated by laws or controlled by criminals.
America's experience with alcohol and tobacco show that health, lost productivity, and law enforcement costs far exceed revenues.
Okay, this is the idea that, yeah, we could tax it, but the money you make wouldn't be enough because, you know, the sky would fall, there'd be pot zombies roaming the streets, and addiction and death and crime and cats and dogs living together. Here's the answer to that one. 1 in 10 Californians are using cannabis now. 1 in 9 Washingtonians, 1 in 8 Oregonians are using cannabis now. So, if there is a social cost, we're paying it now. And we're bringing in no tax money. And we're spending tax money on prohibition that's not stopping anybody. Your follow-up? Alcohol kills 35,000 people a year. Tobacco kills 440,000 people a year because they're toxic and addictive. So it's no surprise they cost $148 billion and $167 billion, respectively, to society. Cannabis, on the other hand, is, quote, the safest therapeutically active substance known to man, end quote, and would take 1,500 pounds smoked in 15 minutes to kill a man, according to a DEA judge.
We have enough problems with drunk drivers. Legalizing marijuana will lead to more impaired drivers and highway fatalities.
All right, the answer to this one. Drunk driving has consistently hovered at 28% of all fatal accidents in California for the past 2 decades, for the past 16 years, since they legalized, or even before Prop 215. But just because drunk driving is 28% of all fatal accidents, you don't hear anybody suggesting that we go back to alcohol prohibition, do you? Whether cannabis is illegal or not, a few people will use it irresponsibly. However, patients given Marinol, the 5 to 10 times more potent synthetic form of THC, are counseled, quote, not to drive until it is established they are able to tolerate the drug and perform such tasks safely, end quote, implying that a person with experience using Marinol or marijuana could drive safely. Also, quote, some drivers may actually be able to improve performance for brief periods by overcompensating for self-perceived impairment, end quote. That's the United States Department of Transportation's fact sheet on cannabis. Now, nobody wants drivers impaired for any reason, but arresting adults who possess and use cannabis without driving is not the solution. All right, our next section here. These are another three of the cannabis prohibitionist lies that you're going to hear over the next 12 months or so. This section is called Law and Order, Pot Zombie Unit.
Taxing marijuana won't work because people can grow their own or buy from a black market that will undercut the tax.
Well, okay, but growing quality cannabis is not easy. Americans are allowed to brew their own beer and wine at substantially less cost, but most willingly pay the price and tax to have someone do it for them. Legal cannabis, even with the tax, will be cheaper than what the black market is selling now. Currently, criminals get all the benefits of the $1,000 to $8,000 per pound tax-free cannabis that they will sell to anybody of any age. Legal cannabis would at least raise some tax revenue and cripple the profitability of the black market.
Mexican drug syndicates won't become Boy Scouts without marijuana to traffic. They'll just increase their activities in harder drugs and violent crime.
Okay, well, look at this. First of all, cannabis accounts for more than 60% of the Mexican drug syndicate's revenue. That's from the United States Department of State. They may not be Boy Scouts, but they will become criminals with less money for weapons, for ammunition, for bribes. Look, there's 2.3 million adult cannabis users in California, but there's only 1 million annual adult users of all other drugs combined. Mexican drug syndicates can't just manufacture demand for other drugs where there is none.
Nobody really goes to prison for simple marijuana possession anyway. Most people incarcerated for marijuana have pleaded down for more serious offenses.
Okay. California is currently spending $981 million a year to prohibit cannabis. If we're not locking people up, what's the problem with taxing them instead of fining them? California arrested 59,000 adults for cannabis in 2007. And remember, California is a decrim state. And they still arrested 59,000 adults for cannabis in 2007. Now, while most of them aren't going to serve a lengthy jail sentence, the arrest itself can cause the loss of a job, the loss of student financial aid, the loss of housing, the loss of child custody, and the loss of insurance coverage, which in the long run ends up costing us all. All right, our next section of the dozen reefer madness lies you are going to hear from the prohibitionists over the next 5, 6, 7 months as we try to legalize on the West Coast. This section we entitle Pot 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
Legalizing marijuana will lead to increased use and increase in drug addiction. Nearly every cocaine, heroin, and meth addict will tell you they started on marijuana.
Yeah, that's that so-called gateway drug theory, and it's a myth. According to the United States government's Institutes of Medicine Marijuana Assessing the Science Base in 1999, cannabis use, quote, does not appear to be a gateway drug to the extent that it is the cause or even that it is the most significant predictor of serious drug abuse, end quote. And you know, the only gateway that exists between cannabis and hard drugs is that they're available in the same unregulated illegal market. Even though more hard drug addicts started with alcohol than started with cannabis, nobody calls liquor a gateway drug because you can't pick up crack, meth, or heroin on the shelf next to it at the liquor store.
Marijuana has been designated a carcinogen in California. We have enough cancer deaths from tobacco. We shouldn't legalize another carcinogen.
Okay, well, first of all, cannabis smoke, like any smoke, contains carcinogens. However, cannabis smoking does not lead to increased risk of head, neck, or lung cancer or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. This was from Dr. Donald Tashkin, who was funded by the National Institutes of Drug Abuse. 30-year long-term study of cannabis users found that not only did they not have an increased risk of head, neck, or lung cancer, they actually seem to have less risk of head, neck, or lung cancer compared to people who don't smoke cannabis at all. Now, if cannabis does cause any health problems, that's even more of an argument for its regulation. Under legalization, California's current 2.3 million cannabis consumers would have guarantees of potency, composition, and purity of cannabis instead of the risks of chemicals, fungi, molds, and adulterants that they face now.
Marijuana use causes serious health problems and is much more potent than the marijuana people smoked in the 1960s and 70s.
Look, I've seen pictures of the 60s and 70s. I've listened to the music of the 60s and 70s. I've seen the art of the 60s and 70s. These MFers were smoking some mighty good sensimilia, okay? Now, cannabis use is far less harmful to the user and society than alcohol and tobacco use. While the average potency has doubled, cannabis is non-toxic, so potency is irrelevant. And if the I always wonder this, if the cannabis of the 60s and 70s was so much safer, why were we arresting and jailing people for using it back then? Under regulation, cannabis potency levels can be verified, and if people wanted to, they could use the 1960s and 70s style cannabis if they choose. All right, final section here of the top dozen reefer madness lies you're going to hear from the prohibitionists over the next 6, 7 months as we try to re-legalize on the West Coast. This section's entitled, My God, What About the Children?
If we legalize drugs, we'll send a message to our children that it is okay. Marijuana distributors will market to kids like alcohol and tobacco companies do, and it will be easier for kids to get pot.
Over 80% of high school seniors and over 70% of high school sophomores say it is easy to get pot now. Could it be any easier for them when we license sellers in adults-only establishments and check customers for ID? Now, regulating a substance does not mean that we're telling the kids it's okay. We strictly regulate tobacco for adults, and through public relations campaigns and bans on commercial advertising, we've shown smokers that society does not consider smoking okay.
Keeping marijuana illegal keeps the price expensive, which helps to keep pot away from our kids.
Nearly two-thirds of teens say they can buy cannabis now. And the profit in an illegal market leads to 1 million teenagers in this country who are selling cannabis to other teenagers. Keeping the price of marijuana expensive is exactly what enriches the Mexican drug syndicates that have murdered 18,000 people in 3 years. I don't know what your price is to keep a kid from smoking pot, but for me, it's not worth somebody's life. And finally,
if we legalize drugs, teen drug addiction will skyrocket.
Well, look, tobacco is legal, and it's extremely addictive. And yet, teen smoking is at its lowest rates ever. We achieve that not by arresting adult smokers, but through education and ID card checks. And California has had legalized cannabis for medical use for 14 years now, and has seen teen marijuana monthly use drop between 24 and 47%, depending on grade level. So there you go. The top dozen things you're going to hear from the Reefer Mad Prohibitionists as they try to protect their jobs as California, Oregon, and Washington begin legalization. One thing you'll notice is my focus on forcing the Prohibitionists to defend what we're doing now about cannabis. See, their scare tactics only make sense if you think nobody smokes pot now, and then suddenly once it's legal, we'll be overrun by potheads. Americans, especially on the West Coast, know that the drug war is as much an utter failure as alcohol prohibition. Polls show a slim majority of us are supportive of common sense regulation of cannabis. Keep reminding them that cannabis is the third most popular recreational substance now, and that any argument for keeping it illegal is an argument for prohibiting the other two. When in doubt, ask the prohibitionist why they don't support making cigarettes and alcohol illegal for all the reasons they mention about cannabis. There you go. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for tuning into the show today live from the Cannabis Cafe. Hey, John, we made it. What do you think?
I think we did a pretty good job. And, you know, Chatters, you should stick around for a little while.
Yeah, we're going to have a little bit after the show. It's not going to be in the replays. It's just going to be some live chat. You, me, Ganja John, some folks here in the cafe. Stick around, Normal Show Live. We are here every weekday, Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific with replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. We love everyone here at the Cannabis Cafe. We're going to be here all week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, live shows here from the USA Cannabis Cafe. Check it out at usacannabiscafe.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm Radical Russ. Talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed.